For our prayers of penitence this morning, we just turn to the back page and remember some of the blessings that Jesus promised us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Let's open our hearts and our minds in penitence to ask God to pour those blessings on us and lead us into being peacemakers. I'll read it. Our reading is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, reading from verse 1. This is in the Pew Bibles at page 917. Therefore, since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, although perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. It's a very long reading today, so I've abbreviated it, and I'm reading it from the Message translation, which I think may be a little easier to hear a long reading. Travelling to Galilee, Jesus had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" And his disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. So Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock and passed it down to us." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." He said, "Go, call your husband, and then come back." "I have no husband," she said. "That's nicely put, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth, sure enough." Then they had a little conversation, and Jesus then said, "It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration." The woman said, "I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when he arrives, we'll get the whole story." "I am he," said Jesus. "You don't have to wait any longer or look any further." This is the gospel of the Lord. Father, may we enjoy that living water through your spirit that you promised to give us through our worship today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. David's left his watch. It's a good sign. You know the little story of the vicar's wife who came into church with her children, and husband took off his watch and put it on the side, and the child said to Mummy, "What does that mean?" "Nothing very much," she said. So, it's a very long story we had. I only read part of it. And so what I want to do today is just mainly look at Jesus' treatment of this woman. There's lots of sermons in this story, but I'm going to just deal with that. But first of all, just a little scene setting so we understand. Jews and Samaritans had had hostility between them for centuries. It all began when a group of Jews were taken out into exile and they intermarried, and so to the Jew they weren't really pure Jews anymore, and these were Samaritans, and so this hostility had grown up and they didn't really talk to each other very much. So Jesus talking to a Samaritan, and a Samaritan woman at that, was doing something very special. And a rabbi talking to a woman was even more special. There were a group of Pharisees who were called the bruised and bleeding ones, because it wasn't done for a rabbi or even a serious Jew to talk with a woman in public, even his wife. And if he saw a woman, these people would close their eyes. So you know why they're called the bruised and bleeding ones. They bumped into things. But that's how serious it was. And Jesus talking to her, he knew somehow there was something wrong. She'd got something to hide. We don't really know how he knew that, whether it was divine intuition, whether it was gossip he'd heard, or whether it was the simple fact she came at noon to draw the water when nobody else would have been there. Everybody else would have drawn water in the cool of the day. So we don't know. But it's very interesting, Jesus chooses this place to do this encounter. Because you remember Jacob, the Old Testament patriarch, he had a dream. And in that dream, he dreamt of a ladder with angels coming from heaven down and angels going up, making this link between heaven and earth. And here we see Jesus doing just exactly that. He's building bridges between Jew and Samaritan, men and women, rabbi and sinner, heaven and earth. He's breaking down barriers and building bridges. Two other just little points before I get on to the lady. This woman probably would have fled in embarrassment
at a rabbi sitting and wanting to talk to her because she knew things weren't quite right in her private life. But she didn't. Something about Jesus kept her there. The disciples had gone into the village to buy food. No Jew would have eaten Samaritan food. Something in Jesus was rubbing off on the disciples, and they were beginning to change as well. So, how did Jesus deal with the woman? Well, first of all, he spoke to her. He asks her for a favor. Could you give me a drink? Puts himself in her debt, so to speak. No reproach, no condemnation, no upfront, this is what I'm going to talk to you about. Will you give me a drink? She was ever practical. Well, she was a woman, wasn't she? So, you haven't even got a bucket. She didn't offer to give him one from her bucket. She probably felt that as a Samaritan, he wouldn't want that, although Jesus probably wouldn't have minded. And so begins the conversation. What respect he is showing her that he has a conversation with her. And not just any conversation, a theological discussion about water and worship and historical worship and where they should worship. What respect he showed her. But then he gives her this most marvelous promise. Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. But anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst. It's like an artesian well bubbling up from inside. And we know Jesus has promised us that life that is beyond anything we can imagine. But maybe seeing something in her of honesty and integrity, he then makes her face herself. Go and call your husband and come back. She could have hedged it, couldn't she? She could have pretended. Always working, always gone away. He's not very well. She didn't. She said, no, I've no husband. She knew she could be honest with this man because he wasn't reproaching her, he wasn't judging her. And so it brought out the honesty. I have no husband. Jesus knows this. And so he goes on to talk to her. And she says this lovely thing, I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when he arrives, we'll get the whole story. I'm he, said Jesus. And so he reveals himself to her in this lovely, gentle way. So what can we learn from this? Well, respect, first of all, for one another. Allowing people to do things for us. I'm bad at that. I want to be the one doing. But people, you can't have all doers. You've got to have receivers. And we've got to receive to be able to do for other people because they've got to receive. So we've got to be both. No judgment. Jesus, no judgment of her. No condemnation, no reproach. Just simple acknowledgement that there was something wrong. Enabled her to be honest. Because she knew that he would still go on loving her and talking to her. Judgment brings out defensiveness. Well, it wasn't that bad after all. Pretense, well, I didn't really mean it that way. But non-judgment and love can bring out honesty. It brings about bridges, not barriers. Love and acceptance allows honesty. And then Jesus can help us if we're honest with him. We can hoodwink ourselves. We can hoodwink our families probably. But we can't hoodwink God. He knows. So we might just as well be honest anyway. But I just want to add just one little bit here. It's a bit of a thing of mine. It's a bit of a sidestep, really. This awful 21st century obsession we have of sexual sin. Do Jesus didn't really mention it to her. He just said, no, you've had five husbands. But what about greed and pride and judgment? Yes, judgment. God said, don't judge one another. Gossip, laziness, unkindness, rudeness. Aren't they just as much in need of confession and forgiveness from Jesus? Aren't they just as much sins in the sight of God? And yet somehow we've got into this awful thing that only the sexual sins are the ones that we really should be doing something about. We're all equally sinful before God. But the wonderful message in this story is that this woman found acceptance and freedom. Before, she'd come to the well at noon when she wouldn't meet anyone. Now she runs back to the village and she says, come and meet this man who's told me everything I've ever done. She found wonderful freedom. She even left her bucket. She ran so fast. Jesus thought she was worth risking his reputation as a Jew and a rabbi to speak to this woman and help her. And we know he went on to show that he risked and gave even his life for you and me so that we can know that freedom of being honest before God and then honest with one another because we know we're loved in that fellowship. So let's bless the Lord.